Recovery Radio, KMP3000 Oaks.
Yes. You are listening to the Recovery Radio Podcast on KMP3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I will be your host. You can email me at sarcasticbigbook@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram at sarcastic.aa.book. Visit my website, recoveryradiokmp3.com, and get the books. Go to sarcasticbigbook.com. And as always, I'm so glad you're here with me. I don't know if your day is just getting started. I don't know if it's just winding down. I don't know if it's somewhere, maybe right in the middle. But here we are. You and me. And I am glad for that. I am so grateful for that. So grateful for the unicorn. I want to talk about that today. I do have a piping hot cup of French roast coffee from Trader Joe's mixed with some Don Francisco's hazelnut. I'm not a coffee connoisseur. I don't know shit. But I stumbled upon this recipe and it just is delicious to me. It's mixed with some Don Francisco's Hawaiian hazelnut. It's so good. You might hear the birds today a lot. Very political right now. A lot going on out there. They're all yammering. Page 53 in the Big Book. First full paragraph. Logic is great stuff. We liked it. We still like it. It is not by chance we were given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses, and to draw conclusions. Page 86, second full paragraph. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. The bottom of the first paragraph on the page. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. What's the it that they're referring to? Our thinking. I mean, there's much more. The Big Book asks us to use common sense, to be tactful. And I really do invite you to read the areas of the Big Book where you think it contradicts what I'm saying right now. When it talks about lack of proportion and ability to think straight, for example, it's talking about concerning the first drink only. It's talking about the insanity of the first drink. It's not talking about other things, your defects. It's not talking about your fears or your self-centeredness. It's not talking about how stupid you might be in other respects in your life. When it talks about, I'll just read it. And there's more than this, but there's a few things in here that are regularly taken out of context. And I just want to read it. page 37. At the top, they're talking about somebody who... We'll start on page 36. This is Jim. You know about Jim. The whiskey and the milk. Bottom of page 36. He had much knowledge about himself as an alcoholic, yet all reasons for not drinking were easily pushed aside in favor of the foolish idea. He could take whiskey if he only mixed it with milk. Whatever the precise definition of the word may be, we call this plain insanity. How could a lack of proportion and the ability to think straight be called anything else? You may think this is an extreme case. To us, it is not far-fetched, for this kind of thinking has been characterized in every single one of us. We have sometimes reflected more than Jim did upon the consequences, but there was always the curious mental phenomenon that parallel with our sound reasoning, there inevitably ran some insanely trivial excuse for taking that first drink. It's all about the first drink. Talking about the jaywalker. Last paragraph. Our behavior is absurd and incomprehensible with respect to the first drink, as that of an individual with a passion for, say, jaywalking. I'll read another one that's taken out of context a lot. Page 23. At the top, these observations would be academic and pointless if our friend never took the first drink, thereby setting the terrible cycle in motion. Therefore, the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. Well, if I'm in an AA meeting and I'm reading that and I'm hearing that, and I'm filled with resentment and I'm filled with self-pity and I'm filled with indignance and I'm just... undisciplined and judgmental and fearful, and I hear the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind, I'm going to think, yeah, it sure does. Listen to all this. Listen to how fucked up I am. But what they're saying there, if you read that all, read it in its context, they're saying alcoholism is a twofold malady. The main part of the alcoholic problem is not the allergy. It's not the permanent progressive allergy. Because that's of no consequence if I don't pick up the first drink. So all they're saying is the main part of that twofold malady is the fact that I continuously talk myself into drinking. Page 21, what about the real alcoholic, it says in the first full paragraph. And it goes on to describe the real alcoholic. And about 10 lines from the bottom of that page, it says, the real alcoholic is often perfectly sensible and well-balanced concerning everything except liquor. There's a lot. There is a lot. There's much more. Roman numeral 30, XXX. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then there are types of alcoholics, entirely normal in every respect except in the effect alcohol has upon them. They're often able, intelligent, friendly people. I mean, there's much more that says this over and over and over again. And I think because of apophenia, the propensity to like put whatever you hear in whatever context fits you at that moment. I think this message has been passed down so much that it has become normal. It's become the zeitgeist in AA. It's become what people believe. And that is that my brain, aside from alcohol, is extra fucked up. How many times do you hear, I'm an alcoholic and, you know, I'm the problem? Or my thinking is a dangerous neighborhood. I understand why people say that. I do get it. And also, the Big Book has a message that is so different from that. And the clarity of that message set me free, changed my whole life, my whole sobriety. It's why I do everything I do. It's why there are the books. It's why I do the podcast. It's why I talk about this incessantly. It's why I make up Big Book quizzes. It's why it literally drives me to do everything I do. That experience that I had for years in AA, where I thought my alcoholism was my being lazy. My alcoholism was me being judgmental, fearful, self-pitying, resentful. And it made me stay sick. It kept me sick because it kept me from applying the solution in the Big Book in a way that worked. Because I was just clinging to this belief that I was extra messed up. And if you're somebody who's listening to this and you're thinking, well, that's not true though, because of this sentence or that sentence, write to me. I love talking about this. I went through a non-linear Big Book study when I was 2.5 years sober that changed my entire world, changed my entire sobriety. I talk about it on here a lot. And we untangled all of those quotes that you hear that seemingly contradict anything I'm saying. So if you're thinking about any of those things, the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, anything like that, write to me. Email me, sarcasticbigbook@gmail.com. It's my favorite subject because it changed everything for me. What I mean by that is that now I'm sitting here today, no desire to drink. I feel present. I feel grateful. I'm not dreading anything. I'm looking forward to literally everything. I've become convinced that the unknown is friendly. I have my own approval. My head and my heart are connected. I want to be of service. I want to help people. I want to carry the message. My hardest challenge right now is that I know that, you know, being a crusader is not usually the most helpful way to go about it. So I try not to be a crusader. You know, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. And I don't make people go to the workshop that I do. I make it clear that people are not obligated to me in Alcoholics Anonymous. I never want to share anything that's divisive or makes it harder or more confusing for anyone. But I do, at the same time, feel enormous peace and enormous serenity because of what I'm talking about right now. That was the knot that got untangled that set me free. Then I started to actually believe that I could trust my own thinking. What I couldn't trust is fear. What I couldn't trust is self-centeredness. But I could trust my thinking if it did not have those things. And that's why I've been rocketed into the fourth dimension. That's why I feel like I found much of heaven, etc. That's why I've become somebody that used to annoy the shit out of me. So that's what I wanted to share. And that's it. I want to give a shout out today to Mallory, and I want to give a shout out today to Matt, and a special shout out to Chelsea and to Dave. And if anybody needs to hear it, everything is okay. Everything is okay. Out of here. I don't know why my life was saved, but I'm gonna go try to live a life that was worth saving, and I hope you'll do the same. Good night.